The wait is over. Football is here, and so is DraftKings. DraftKings is now live in all 50 states. One app, every sport, nationwide. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code 2400, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. Includes all markets. That's code 2400 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-777. Or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. Bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Or trade with DraftKings Predictions to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Event contract trading involves risk of loss. Predictions offer void in New York. Non-withdrawable rewards issued as $50 click-to-claims every 7 days for 21 days. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green. And when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Jets not at 7. So if you are on your way to MetLife Stadium, give a call. First football game of the year, obviously tomorrow afternoon. A lot of great tailgating for the Giants game at 1 o'clock. I've never been, well, yeah, that's a lie. I'm sure back in the day I did wager on preseason football. But the Jets are 6.5-point favorites tonight. Do not expect to see that again this year. Means nothing. And you should never, ever, ever, ever wager on preseason football. So please don't tonight. It is a guaranteed losing cause if you do. I'm just putting it out there, okay? We'll get Mark Schlereth here in a minute as well. Talk a little football. Justin Pugh's coming in studio in the 5 o'clock hour as well. So looking forward to having him here too. Paul Zignacher's on the fan. Paul, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Craig. Hi, boys. I got your back. I'm here.
There you go. Hey. What's going on today, Cookie?
All right, the NFL, it's a monster. It's here. I want to just quickly do this.
Uh-huh.
Say goodbye to Stearns and Cohen. The NFL has just stepped on your head.
That's right.
You got 3 games left. You got Pete Alonso days. Go away. If there's baseball in April, I'll see you in April. Goodbye.
So you are done now with your New York Mets beat. You have Pete Alonso Day, which you go to honor Pete, and you'll have the Subway Series, of course, which you watch also. Outside of that, it's a wrap. You're done.
That's it. Now for the NFL.
Yeah.
Thank you, NFL. You turned Christmas into Happy New Year. 3 football games on Christmas, 5 basketball games on Christmas. Yes. Okay. I'm happy.
You have an entire day of celebrating religion, watching basketball, and watching football. Yeah. And it's going to be a fabulous Christmas, isn't it?
A Merry Christmas to one and all. You could now name it Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's to the NFL. Thank you, NFL. One more thing. You know which is my favorite games, Craig?
Your favorite games in which sport?
The whole year. No, only the NFL. Who cares about anything else?
Your favorite game is Thanksgiving Thursday.
No.
Oh, okay.
All the countries I can't name. Why? Because the 9 a.m. starts. And I fly to Vegas to make it 6 a.m. I love 6 a.m. games.
You're a glutton for punishment, Paul. I hate the European games. I hate them at 9 o'clock. I hate them at 10 o'clock. And you bet your ass I would hate them at 6 o'clock, too.
No, a little cup of coffee, some two over with bacon. You're sitting, you're watching football. It could be any teams. Who cares?
Well, I'm with you on that. It doesn't matter who's playing. We watch football because we love football. And I remember when I lived in Denver for a couple years, I hated the fact that I had to get up early and start watching football, actual games, at 11 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm an East Coast guy. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, period, stop.
I like them.
Of course you like them. You're a Broncos fan.
Yeah, and I'm up watching, you know, the soccer at that. No, I watch soccer, and then I get into football.
So you watch like an 8 o'clock 7 a.m. Soccer match?
Yes.
And then you go from that right into football?
And last year I went out to London for the Broncos-Jets game. The weirdest thing was at like 9 o'clock, the 1 o'clock games are just hitting like halftime there at night. So I'm over here like I'm not making it to the 4 o'clock games, but I enjoy the early start. I like it. I want more of them.
Because typically you're a little hungover on Sunday morning, or you have to go to church or whatever your thing is, obviously. Like noon, I could accept noon, but I don't like morning football. I hate it. I hate when I have to get up and you got to like tiptoe around the house because the kids are sleeping, your wife's sleeping, and then you're watching on the couch by yourself and yeah, your wife isn't awake, so she hasn't done her job for the day, which is prepare all the food and drink for the men to eat while they enjoy and drink, while they enjoy watching football. It's like you're sitting there like, am I really drinking Grand Marnies and Coke at 9 o'clock in the morning to watch the European game?
It sounds like a personal choice.
All right, cool. The answer, of course I am. I'm about happy about it, but I'm doing it, and your food changes like it's breakfast time. Am I really putting a rack of ribs in the oven? Of course I am. Just throws everything off.
But it extends the day, and you could focus more on the singular game.
I like sleep until 10 o'clock if I can on a Sunday, which, to be honest, I never do. It's the concept of it. I would like to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night into Sunday, and not have to get up in 5 hours to watch the Jets play the Vikings in London, and then watch Aaron Rodgers throw a pick six to end the game. I'd like not to do that at 9 o'clock in the morning. But you like that European soccer stuff. You love it, don't you?
It extends my Sunday.
Sleep extends a Sunday also. By the way, remember that 170-pound kid I told you about for Iowa?
Thank you very much.
I'm pretty sure just hit a walk-off home run to win the Midwestern region and beat Wisconsin 7-6. I'm pretty sure the kid I was talking about got up and hit a bomb. The last fat kid that I know that could hit bombs like that was Mark Schlereth. And Mark Schlereth joins us now from his home in Denver, Colorado. Mark, how you been, buddy?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Could not be better. Football's back. Obviously, all the games yesterday. We got the Jets tonight at 7 o'clock. We got the Giants tomorrow at 1 o'clock. How are things in Denver?
Things are good in Denver. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm with you. Going to camp every day, watching the Broncos practice, doing all that stuff. Really excited to have football back. Watched a bunch of it last night. Not like, it wasn't like I was digging into it, you know, but I was just watching in the background and saw Mendoza play, and he looked good last night for the Raiders. And yeah, it's always exciting to have it back.
I agree. It's like, it's almost like a holiday for us. I'll tell you the two guys that did stand out yesterday, and then we'll get to our stuff here. I thought Drew Aller for Pittsburgh looked very good, and I did not think out of Penn State that he was going to be worth drafting. And I thought Fernando Mendoza, coming in off of Kirk Cousins' good start, also looked very comfortable on a football field.
Yeah, definitely. I thought both the quarterbacks, as you mentioned, Aller, I thought was pretty exceptional the other night, or last night. Yep. And there was a couple of throws that Mendoza made. He threw the touchdown, and he throws a little slant to Beck, I think it was, and you know, it was interesting because they're in a formation where the middle linebacker is going to open to the opposite side. And as soon as he flipped his hips, man, he just buzzed it by the ear hole of that dude. And it was just a perfect throw, but it was a perfect recognition. You're not looking at the receiver. You're looking at the linebacker and making sure he gets out of your way. He's your movement key. And little things like that, when you watch the game and you watch a young quarterback, that's what guys struggle with, right? that's where guys don't excel. And he got him to move. He got him to open. And like I said, just blew it by his head. It was an unbelievable throw.
Yeah, he looked good. Let's talk some Giants football first, then we'll get to the Jets. I know you're a John Harbaugh guy. You and I have argued a little bit about the impact that John's going to have here year one with the Giants. But he did something yesterday and even today again. He's being very coy about whether or not Jackson Dart is going to play tomorrow. I think it's obvious that he's going to play. I think he needs to play. But what would the upside be of not saying publicly whether or not Jackson Dart's going to get some reps tomorrow?
Listen, I've got authority, or I've got my thumb on top of the media here locally, and I can do it.
Got it. Okay.
It was the same thing here. Sean Payton had talked about all Bo Nix and how great Bo Nix was and everything else. And on Monday or Tuesday, he said, hey, listen, we haven't made a decision. We're going to have these group meetings, and we're going to figure this out. And then on Wednesday.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Wednesday, you know, right after practice, before they leave to head to Atlanta to play, he's like, yeah, we've known for a month that Bo Nix wasn't going to play in the first game on turf. And you're like, well, why didn't you just say it? And I think part of it is, especially with some of the older school guys, Greg, I just think they like to be able to kind of shove it up the can of the local media.
That's probably true. All right, because they know as soon as they lose a game, we're not going to suffer any fools. We're going to be on their asses. You didn't know that.
Right, exactly. That's the game that's played, right? And that's what you're supposed to do as a local media that covers your team.
So let me ask you about Jackson Dart. He played the role this offseason of a rock star quarterback. Didn't say no to any appearances, and that's all well and good. He deserves that. He's allowed to do that. Now it's all about football. It's not about a pretty girlfriend. It's not about, you know, introducing the president or going to Fanatics Fest or getting on a private jet and watching, you know, the Knicks play playoff basketball. I think he showed a lot of promise last year, but I'm not like a lot of Giant fans. I'm not a Giant fan, but I'm not in bed with Giant fans who feel like it's a lock that Jackson Dart's going to be a top 10 quarterback. What's your take on him?
Yeah, I thought he was dynamic, Craig. I thought he made some, I mean, I thought he played exceptionally well at times throughout the season last year, but he's also incredibly reckless. And, you know, it's kind of your responsibility as a quarterback to make sure you're available to your team. And I know that the freak things are going to happen, but when you put your body in harm's way as many times as Jackson Dart put his body in harm's way, like there is diminishing returns. At the very end of the game, you got to win it. You know, I understand diving for it and right, taking a hit and all that stuff, but you can't do that stuff. You can't be stupid, right? And there was too many times where he was just stupid. And those are the things that got to clean up. But, like, I'm talking about stupid decisions, putting your body in harm's way. Hey, man, you're already the starter. Like, go out there and help us win football games. But don't be dumb because you put our team in harm's way. So I loved his competitiveness. I loved the fire that he played with. I loved, like, some of the decision-making and his arm talent and his athletic ability. Now you've got to be the CEO of the football team. And that means we got to have you every week. And so, you know, that's part of John Harbaugh's deal, because some of these guys that are gifted athletically, and I always say at the quarterback position, like, your default mechanism has to be from the neck up.
Right.
You got to do things like, hey, throw the ball away. Hey, man, I'm going to just get down here and we're not going to get the first down. And the guys who don't survive, they are the super athletically gifted guys usually. But their default mechanism is the neck down. Let me go do something with my body that's extremely
unbelievable. But is that also
right?
Based in a way, Mark, on my word, not yours, on the insecurity of, man, I don't know if I can squeeze that ball in there, but I know I can run for 7 yards because that's what I've always done as an athlete. So I'm going to not take the easy way out, but I'm going to do what I know I'm better at.
Right. And here's the deal with the young quarterbacks, too, is that, you know, accuracy is really more about being on time. And with young guys who have constantly or consistently relied on athleticism to get themselves out of trouble, those guys are consistently late. And when you're consistently late, you know, that's when a ball gets tipped. That's when there's an interception. That's when there's some things that just go wrong, right? And so you're 100% right. You look at it and like, well, you know, this is the lesser of two evils right here. And I've always done it this way. And I think when you're really gifted, it is, you know, not that you and I know about being really gifted.
For sure.
I think for some guys, when you're really gifted, it is hard to progress mentally, to get yourself to a point where you like, let me win from the neck up as opposed to winning with my athleticism. And I think that's a really hard transition for a lot of guys to make. I had a long conversation with Michael Vick about it. And Michael Vick was like, you know, hindsight being 2020 and looking back on my career, I wish I would have like spent more time like really understanding the game as opposed to, well, if, you know, the blitz comes, instead of beating the blitz with a throw, I'm just going to outrun it.
Right.
And, you know, and it's dynamic and it's fun and we get excited about it, but you just don't last long that way.
No, and most of those guys don't, but that also comes with, look, we were all different when we were 22 years old, right? You have to grow up at some point. You have to learn at some point. That's why a guy like John Harbaugh, you would think, having coached Lamar Jackson and turning Lamar Jackson into what I think is a great pocket passer now, which was always the knock on him early in his career, should be the perfect guy for Jackson Dart's development.
I don't disagree with you. I think he is.
Because he's seen it.
Yeah, he's seen it, and it was a progression with Lamar, you know, where it was, hey, man, it was a lot of, like, zone read stuff and quarterback run stuff and quarterback, you know, the quarterback, like, RPO stuff and all that. And they progressed, and they got better and better, and Lamar got better and better each year until he became a legitimate pocket passer. So John has done that, and one of the ways that John always does that is, man, he's going to build the team from the inside out. They are going to try to maul people. And Baltimore always had it. I remember calling a game, Craig, it was a Baltimore game, and I was on the sideline. And, you know, it was Friday. It was Friday practice.
Right.
And I was standing by a group of their tight ends. I had somebody snap a picture. And every one of their tight ends was like 6'6", 250, 260. And I looked like a little kid. I was like, hey, look at me. Like, there's no way you would ever say, hey, that guy played O-line in the league. You know, I mean, these guys were towering over me. And, you know, John believes in that kind of structure of a football team. And so,
well, by the guy, he brought in your favorite fullback in the league in Patrick Ricard.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You love that guy. 313
pounds. That dude is just thunder punch you in the cheek.
By the way, that dude ain't coming off the field. He's going to be on the field. I don't know what percentage of it, but they're going to. I don't think they have a great running game with Tracy and Scatterboo, honestly. But Ricard's going to be on the field for damn near every snap, I think.
Yeah, well, they'll use him. There's no question. The kid they drafted out of Miami, the offensive lineman, was an absolute mauler as well. So, like, you know, it's. I've talked to John this offseason. I think they're pretty excited about what they're building on the inside to take some of that pressure and hopefully to keep keep Jackson Dart from feeling like he's got to run and get out of the pocket.
You think they can win 9 and at least be alive for a wild card spot going into December, let's say?
I do think the Giants are going to be a lot better. I think that division is interesting. I think Philadelphia slips a little bit into that division.
Right.
I think Dallas is better. I mean, I think they'll compete for the division crown, but they'll probably crap in their helmet, you know, come playoff time like they always do.
Yeah.
But I do think the Giants have a chance to shock some people this year.
Yeah, Giant fans have bought into the notion that they're a 9 or 10 win team. And when I look at their schedule, look, their out of division schedule's tough. You know, Detroit, Chicago, Seattle, you know, San Francisco. The schedule doesn't do them any favors this year, but you know, year two of a young quarterback, they should be better with a better coach.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question on that. And I think with a better kind of identity, you know, knowing what we want to do as a football team, so that, you know, I think a big part of keeping a quarterback clean and keeping him from scrambling and keeping him from taking sacks is understanding what your identity is and you as a play caller keeping him out of those situations. And so, you know, I just know that John Harbaugh, I just know the way he wants to structure and the way he demands from his coaches the way we're going to structure this team, I think will be really good for Jackson Dart.
All right, let me go to the Jets real quick. Talking to my main man, Mark Schlereth out in Denver. He does Fox games every Sunday, so you'll see him on a bunch of games this year. And, of course, does radio with my main man, Mike Evans, out there. Plus, he has a podcast that's like, I think we signed you to our podcast deal now, where the stinking truth is a national. Look at you making all that extra money.
Yeah, I do it. I do it as a favor to Odyssey. So
yeah, me too. By the way, every afternoon from 2 to 6, I'm doing them a solid.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, we're gonna get you. Yeah. We're gonna get you. This thing's gonna be big eventually.
Oh, it's gonna be huge. Just trust us. When it gets big, we're gonna take good care of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I am convinced. When I was at Jet Camp the other day, sat with Aaron Glenn. Saw Geno Smith, who I broke bread with, and we buried the hatchet between he and I personally, which was great. Saw Breece Hall, saw Demario Davis, who's amazingly 37 and looks 25. He's a rock star. I'm convinced now that the New York Jets are not just competent, but are going to have a very fun offense to watch. They got a lot of weapons. They can run the football. And you've got a guy trying to save his career now in Geno Smith. I don't think he's great, but I think he's competent. Let's start the offense. You think I'm crazy, or you think the Jets can have a decent offense with Frank Reich calling the plays?
Yeah, I think they can have a decent offense. I think a couple of things about Geno. I think Geno can flat out spin it. But Geno is not one of those guys that's going to carry you. I think that Geno has got to have systems in place and, you know, in a solid kind of construct of the offense, because there's a lot of throws. There's not a throw on the field he can't make.
He's got a gun for arms, though.
He has just got an arm. But I'm telling you, man, I'd gone through a bunch of Raiders film from last year this offseason, just looking at stuff, and I'm calling the Raiders week one. And I'm telling you what, the Chip Kelly offense is, like, to me, it makes – there's no rhyme, no reason. There's nothing you hang your hat on, you know? And I'm just a believer in saying, hey, man, we got 5 or 6 core principle plays that we're just going to run the crap out of. And we're going to have, you know, several adjunct plays on play action and things that we're going to do off of those things. I think that's where Geno Smith excels. I think that's where he's really good. But this hodgepodge, we're just calling plays for the sake of calling plays, and we have zero run game, and none of it makes any sense. None of it ties together. None of it marries. I think last year was just probably the most frustrating year of Geno's career, and he got punched in the mouth when he's with the Jets. Right. So
yeah, he did.
That's saying something.
Yeah, that's saying. Only
something.
Quarterback to have his jaw broken by a teammate in the history of the NFL that I know of. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you and me both. So I do like what they have. I like Breece Hall. That was a guy that, you know, I was hoping maybe Denver would go after in a trade scenario or whatever this offseason, but. Good to see them get him redone, because I think that dude's a damn good player.
Yeah, he is. The Geno thing's interesting because, like you said, look, this is not a throw he can't make. You know, he got sacked more than anybody last year, threw a bunch of interceptions. But then you go back and go, you know what, in the course of his career, he's really only played 6 full seasons. So there's no wear and tear on his body like a kid, you know, a normal quarterback in his young 30s might have a wear and tear along the course of a, you know, 10, 12-year career. He's not been hit all that much until last year. And when you go back and watch the tape of him in Seattle, it was like, man, 4,000 yards, this dude can play quarterback. The problem is that he just hasn't done it enough.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And again, he's just one of those guys where you can't hodgepodge an offense together. And I don't think there's many of those guys that can just do whatever. They like certainty. And as I was watching Chip Kelly's, their run game was absolutely atrocious.
Right.
What they were asking guys to do.
Their line stunk, the whole thing, right?
Right, the line stunk, and there was no continuity in the offense at all. Like, why would they call this play in this situation? Why would they, you know, do this out of this formation? All these things that made no sense to me. So, you know, I think you'll be more competent, obviously, as an offense in general with Frank Reich.
Yeah, everyone's going crazy here in New York for David Bailey. And for the Giants, Arvell Reese, I imagine you probably haven't seen any of them yet. You'll see him tonight and tomorrow. But it seems like from all the hoopla that both the Jets and the Giants nailed their first-round draft picks on the defensive side. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those two guys yet, but they apparently have had great training camps.
Yeah, I watched them. I watched them coming out. Explosive, just explosive edge athletes. But the kid for the Giants can play off the ball, on the ball. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that, and I talked to John Harbaugh about this as well, the issue that you get into when you have a guy that can play multiple positions like that, it makes the defense a little bit harder to designate. So when we break a huddle from a protection standpoint, you're like, okay, is he on the ball? Is he off the ball? Are we running to him? Is he playing defensive end? Is he outside linebacker? Is he playing inside? And then you can match that guy up occasionally in protections on a back. You can get him locked up or singled up with a back. And that makes it exceptionally hard just to designate and to call protections. And the other kid, the Jets kid, is just like, man, that dude's got a rocket up his ass. Yeah. He's like off the ball. And that's always the issue. You'll learn how to become a more efficient pass rusher, but when you have that kind of get off, it automatically makes tackles open up their hips and get out of sync with you as a pass rusher. So like those two guys, I tell you, the other guy I really liked is the tight end the Jets took. And I thought, you know, he's dynamic, he can run, he can do all those things. But Craig, I'm telling you, to me, he was the best blocking tight end. I studied probably 10 tight ends coming out in the draft, you know, all first, second round, third round guys. And he was by far the best tight end. So he could play not only the Y in line blocking people, but he can play the F because he can split out, be in the slot, be outside the numbers. He's got some versatility,
yep.
But his blocking to me was exceptional.
Yeah, he's been hurt for a good portion of the summer. Talking about Kenyon Sadiq out of Oregon, but they love that kid. He just hasn't played a lot yet. I don't think he's going to be playing tonight either at 7 o'clock. Are people in Denver prepared for the obvious letdown / meltdown after last year's great run to the AFC Championship game or no?
No, I think they're really excited about, you know, about this team. And you look at the team right now, I mean, defensively, all 11 guys who played last year are back, plus all their significant backups are back.
Yeah, but they were 11-2 in one score games. By default, they lose half those this year, no?
Well, yeah, I think that's always one of those things that you would look at. But I think the other part of that is, think about this. You led the league in sacks at, what, 63 or something like that, right?
Right.
You were incredible rushing the passer, incredible getting him on the ground, and you only created 14 turnovers.
Okay, that's a flip side to that. That's fair.
Right. So I look at it like, man, if you can have a little bit better offense, because our offense was – like it was shoddy at best for most of the season. If you have a more productive offense and you're putting and you continue to put that kind of pressure on the opponent's quarterback, There's no way you aren't going to double that number. 14 is going to go to 26, 28, somewhere in there. I think 30 something led the league last year. So, you know, I just can't imagine them not doubling that or close to doubling that number in turnovers, which is going to keep them out of a lot of one-score
games.
Maybe.
I think when you live and die in one-score games, and again, 11-2 last year in one-score games, and I'm not talking like they beat the Eagles by 4, the Jets by 2, the Giants by 1, the Texans by 3, the Raiders by 3, the Chiefs by 3, Commanders by 1. You don't win all those games this year. So if you're playing a lot of close games like they did last year, I just want Bronco fans and your pal Sean Payton to recognize they're not going 14-3 this year. That ain't on the table.
I don't think it is either, but I do think winning that division's on the table with a record of like 12-5.
Okay.
I think that's a realistic, you know, 11-6, 12-5 and being right there in the division fight, I think is realistic for them.
You think Mahomes is going to be 100% and play all 17 or nah?
I do. I think he'll be 100% and play all 17. But, you know, it does go to show you that, like, getting Rashee Rice back, and, you know, and I know there's a sliding scale of justice in the NFL, right? You can do whatever. You can do whatever.
Pretty
if you're
much.
A really good player and really productive, they're going to welcome you back.
You can even violate probation. And play football.
Yeah, the guy that's a sacrificial lamb, he's gonna, you know, we're making a statement. We don't like these type of characters in our organization. But it does go to show you that Rashee Rice, that they are dependent upon that guy being special because that's the one receiver they really have that Mahomes has great rapport with and it isn't one-dimensional and that will do some of the dirty work stuff. And that to me is kind of a sign of kind of where they are as a franchise and how hard it is to maintain all the years they maintained and were great. Eventually, guys get old. Eventually, guys retire. Guys move on, go to other places. And offensively, they haven't replaced a lot of those guys.
Yeah, before I let you go, talking to Mark Schlereth, give me a team, dark horse team, that wasn't in the playoffs last year that you think has a chance to make some noise this year.
Oh, shoot. Wasn't in the playoffs last year. Damn, you got me, man. I can't even think of a team.
Let me ask you a couple quick ones then. You think year one of Brian Daboll and Robert Saleh with Cam Ward in year two have a chance to make a little bit of noise or no?
No, I think that they still have a lot of work roster-wise to do. So that would be one that I would say no on. I think, by the way, I think Indianapolis has a really good chance to be back in the playoffs.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, they were 8-2 last year before. And, you know, Daniel Jones was playing great before.
He was an MVP candidate before he got hurt.
Yeah. By the way, did he get his number back? Did Philip Rivers give him 17 back? Or did he keep that?
I haven't seen yet. That's also the beauty about being an offensive lineman. Who else wants 69?
Nobody. Nobody wants to wear that garbage number.
No. And by the way, is Sean Payton talking to you again? I saw that he was blowing you off for a while.
Yeah, no, we are tight. I went over about a month ago and spent 45 minutes in his office, and then we went out to practice, and it was during a mini camp, and it was on the field, and got to dabble in some coaching and talking to the guys, and so it was fun. Yeah, we're back. We're back. Cat and mouse nuts.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
And I should tell you that you're going to be jealous of this. You know, my dear friend Willie Colon went on that Disney cruise that you and your family went on a couple years back. And he took his beautiful 5-year-old daughter to the Bippity Boppity Salon, okay?
And
And they dolled her all up, did her hair beautiful, makeup beautiful. And when she turned around, Willie and Aisha's beautiful wife, they couldn't help themselves. Tears rolling down their face at the sight of their daughter as a beautiful princess in the Bippity Boppity Salon. They put the video out on Instagram. Disney saw it and made them spokespersons for the Disney cruises.
Are you kidding me?
You were on a Disney cruise in which a life was saved, and you're not a Disney spokesperson.
Nope, I am not. I spoke to Willie last night, by the way. I was getting prepped, helping him prep for the Jets-Steelers preseason finale.
Yeah.
So great to talk to Willie. And you know what? They couldn't have a better spokesperson over there at Disney Cruises.
You're so jealous.
I am. It really eats me. Because my granddaughters went to the Bippity Boppity Salon as well. But I was like, yeah, Popo's going to lay up here at the pool and just kind of float like a whale. So yeah,
I still can't believe that both of you vacationed on a Disney cruise ship. It doesn't jive in my head for either one of you.
Yeah, no, it was great.
But, I know.
I mean, it's like all you can eat. So
that's
like,
a good point.
For guys like Willie and I, it was awesome.
And listen, no matter what anybody says about you, you'll always have this. You hosted the most highest rated morning show in FS1 history. No matter what anybody says about you. Dyslexic,
right.
Can't read, dumb lineman, you were the host of the most watched morning show in FS1 history. Just remember that.
I appreciate it. I did not know that, but I'm going to take that one and run with it.
I have.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. All right, listen, you know I love you. Best to your family. And if you do wind up doing an East Coast game, you got a couch to sleep on and one pillow, and I look forward to seeing you.
I love you too, man. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you. Mark Schlereth, everybody, joining us here on The Fan today. Great guy and really one of the great analysts of football. I always felt that he deserved to be higher than the sixth team on the Fox broadcast scale. He's a great, great analyst and a great dude as well. And proud to call him a friend. Well, I get all your calls coming right up, I promise. 888-808-1019. I got Gallo. I got Hoffman. We got Jets tonight. We got Giants tomorrow. We got Justin Pugh stopping by. It's a Football Friday on The Fan.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires, and they honor all manufacturers' rebates, and they honor competitive rebates with more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires. Why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices. That's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.